In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Twenty-eight words in English. One sentence. One verse. The shortest gospel reading of any Sunday, of any feast day, of any holy day, in any lectionary, ever. The gospel appointed for the feast day of the circumcision and the name of Jesus. They call John 3:16 the gospel in a nutshell, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But that, compared to Luke 2:21, is a little wordy and maybe doesn't include quite as much gospel as Luke does in this one little verse, appointed to be the gospel reading on the evening in which the world is celebrating a new year. It's hard to say more than this. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Four profound things in that one little sentence. First, his name had been delivered by an angel before he was conceived. The angel is, of course, the messenger from God. He heralds this good news that it is the time of the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the anointed one, to redeem his people out of their long slavery to sin, to be the new Moses, the new Joshua, the one finally and fully to redeem his people, to be the descendant of King David who would sit upon David's throne eternally. The angel, of course, comes not with his own word, but comes with the word of God. And at the word of the angel Gabriel, the Holy Spirit enters into Mary that this child might be conceived. So then, the second word, her womb, where the Creator now has become a creature, one of us. God has become man. The Son of God is the Son of Mary, and has been for 9 months and 8 days since taking up residence in the womb of this virgin girl. God and man have been inseparably united together. The one whom the heavens cannot contain has confined himself to the womb of a virgin girl. And from there he proceeds forth into the throne room of a manger. And then, when he is only 8 days old, they do for him what the law requires. But in this person of Jesus, God can be contained. He can be handled. He can be dealt with. Before he's born, he will be walked around from Nazareth to Bethlehem to wherever her cousin Elizabeth was dwelling. He will proclaim silently through the voice of his mother his own lordship, eliciting the worship of his also preborn cousin John, the forerunner. The angel announced to her, and she bore in her womb. And then, when he was 8 days old, they did this peculiar thing to him. They circumcised him, which has been the oddball way of making Jews out of Gentiles ever since God instituted this to be the sign of his covenant with Abraham. And it is weird. If you want to make a religion, make something up, don't do something like circumcision as the sine qua non without which you cannot be a Jewish man. or a Jewish boy. Pick something nicer, neater, tidier, that does not involve cutting off one's foreskin. And yet, God chooses this off-the-wall event to be the means by which his people will be marked in their flesh. And so then it happens to the one who is God and man together. The shedding of blood, which is inevitable in circumcision. So even if the Christmas hymns are true, that no crying he makes, and the night on which he was born was a silent and holy night, you can believe that on the eighth day that this baby was alive, he cried. And he broke the silence of that night with a shrill, piercing, flesh cut off of him kind of scream. And as the hymn says, his infant body now begins the cross to feel, those precious drops of blood that flow for death the victim's seal. But bloodshed is not by nature a quality of God. It is only a quality of man. And it is only a quality of sinful man who can shed his blood, or who will inevitably, after the fall, shed his blood. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. By the blood of your hands, you will have to work the ground. Bloodshed, a sign of death, is not natural to man. But now God, having become man, sinless though he is marked with a sign of sin. And the removal of flesh, a sign of death, a sign that that which is cut off from God cannot live. So sinful rebellion against God marks one for death. As soon as Adam and Eve rebelled against their Creator, their source of life, in that very moment they died. They didn't fall over immediately dead, but in rebelling against life, they chose death instead. And from that moment, they were dying. But it is also the sign of the covenant, the sign of a promise, so that every action of intercourse between a husband and wife would be marked by this inescapable fact: God is in the process of redeeming the world. And through one of those conjugal acts, he will finally and fully bring about the seed of the woman whom he promised all the way back in Genesis 3:15. The offspring of the woman will crush the head of the offspring of the serpent. And then he comes, not through the union of a man and a woman, but through the union of God and the flesh of a woman. The only virgin birth, the only virgin conception, the only one whose birth did not come about through the sign of this covenant. And yet, when he is only 8 days old, he will take his place right under the law of God. The one who is himself the Word of God, from whom the law itself emanates, from whom, therefore, the commandment to be circumcised comes, is himself circumcised. The one who is the Torah, who is the commandments of God, submits to the commandments of God, that his flesh might be cut into in order to mark him who will bear the sin of all sinful men. So he submits to the law, not for his own sake, but for yours. God, in the person of Jesus, is taking your place, the Creator taking the place of his creation. And he was given the name Jesus. The name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb, the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means, translated, Savior. You will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He is the Savior, and he does what his name foretells, and he saves whom? His people. In saving them, he makes them his people. And from what does he save them? From what most greatly afflicts them? From their sins. So on this evening, the one who made all things with his sinless body and blood that he offers to you from his holy altar, now makes you new. And he makes you his. And he does what his name tells you that he is always in the business of doing. He saves you from your sins. So happy New Year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.